Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
That does not mean that we think Sal is a turkey. I just wanted to make that clear. He's with us on the Western Hotline. Happy Wednesday, everybody. The segment with Sal brought to you by New York's only in outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, sorry, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? The sad thing is the words are on a piece of paper in front of me. Still doesn't matter. Sal with us here. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, guys. Good morning.
Thanks. And if you've got any Bills questions for Sal C, 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Would you like to hear your weekly reminder about not overreacting to a player not practicing yesterday? Just to, you know, remind me?
Sure. I mean, that's true. But I will tell you, in the case of John Brown, I am very curious what's going to happen. He's been banged up, guys. I mean, like, you got to remember, in the Arizona game, he got his leg twisted under him and that one catch late in the game. He was already dealing with a knee injury. I think that it's clear over the last couple of games that he's just not completely himself. He's not been able to pull away from people. A couple of different wide receiver screens that they've run there that he got into the open field and twice wasn't able to get into the end zone because I don't think he's at his top end speed. He's clearly been dealing with something all year in the knee. He's been on with an ankle and a knee, and then he hurt both of them on one play, it seemed like, at least, in that Arizona game. So, again, yes, I agree. Don't freak out about it. But I think it is something to monitor this week as far as he's concerned. And I'm not sure about Dawson Knox. You know, we'll see where that goes.
I ask this knowing that if you don't know, folks, the media only sees the first few minutes of practice. Could you tell if Isaiah Hodgins was working out? Was he practicing?
Yes, he was there. He was practicing. He's on the field. He's running individual. So he was out there running routes. You know, I don't know. Obviously, we can't tell, as you just noted, like what, you know, he's doing when they go to team. And
yeah.
You know, if he's lining up with the offense, I couldn't tell you anything like that. But I could tell you that he was out there, you know, with the receivers like everybody else.
Very good. Broncos game is set. Any thoughts on the 4:30 slot for that one?
I like that
window. Not surprising. I mean, I figured since the schedule came out, I thought the Bills had a pretty good chance to be one of those teams. And for a couple of reasons. I think the matchup itself, well before the season, I thought, you know, Denver could be a team that could be in the wild card mix. Obviously, they're not now, and you figured the Bills would be a team in the playoff mix, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So that's number one. As the season started to go on, you know, the Bills were having their season. That became more apparent. But also, guys, remember the conversation I had with Mike North, the schedule guy, way back when during the offseason? You know, he made it clear that the Bills just resonate on prime time. They did last year. And to me, and I know it's if we want to call that prime time or not because of the time slot, you know, that it just always seemed to me that that was a game the league might want to put the Bills on a Saturday because they drew really big numbers with the Bills and Patriots on the Saturday last year.
You know, it's funny, Sal, like the way the Bills resonate now, like not before in 20 years, that goes to prime time. I saw a commercial for the new Madden video game, right? So the PlayStation 5 comes out and Madden's going to next gen. And as they're showing all of the highlights and things you can do in this game, what are you getting there? You get Josh Allen throwing a deep ball to Stephon Diggs. And I'm thinking, man, it's been 15 years since, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe it's happened a couple times here or there, but to be featured the same way that a Mahomes highlight would be, the same way that a Deshaun Watson highlight would be. And, like, I know these are tiny little crumbs of stuff, but, you know, when you go so long without even feeling like you're in the league, and, the, you know, we watched them get back last year. And now, in the next couple weeks, like, they're going to get their spotlight yet again, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think this week is a week for that too, Jeremy. You know, this particular week, there's not going to be a ton of Sunday games compared to what we normally have because of the three Thursdays and the Monday night, obviously. So there's going to be fewer Sunday games to watch. Let me go and look at the Sunday.
There's
1 o'clock
actually
window.
Some really nice games in that 1 o'clock window.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there's one that's going to be. I think the national
game. Tennessee and Indy is a really nice one.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's the big one for a lot of stuff.
But I think part of it, too, is I think a lot of the country is really interested in Justin Herbert. You know, he's looked really good.
Sure.
And now that Burrow's out for the year, unfortunately, and with Tua's struggles, Herbert, he kind of had the spotlight here as the rookie quarterbacks and how well he's playing. And I think he's become a story. And Keenan Allen was just so incredible last week with the amount of, what do you have, like 20 targets last week? I have to go back and look.
He had 16 catches. I mean, he had 16 catches, so yeah, I don't know what the target
number
was.
It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible. You know, I think they're a bit of a story because of that. And, of course, I think the Bills are, you know, a team that is a story right now because they're looking to win their first division championship since 1995. A game like this would go a long way in that. Keenan Allen last week had 19 targets, guys. He was targeted 19 times, 16 catches, 145 yards. He's good. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy. I think that, you know, they're starting to get a little shine, if you will. And I think this week could be another week where, you know, there's a bit of a focus on them in this game.
Nice thing about, you know, to play off of Jeremy's point, Sal, and actually this can lead you into the stats you tweeted out yesterday about Josh Allen, his passing and rushing stats so far in his career. You know, when you don't have a rooting interest, if you're a football fan, you're watching the game, what do you want to see? You want to see points. You want to see offense. You want to see excitement. You want to see fun quarterbacks to watch. And we never talked about the Bills in that category for years. Now they are. And, you know, you would watch – because Josh Allen is all of a sudden like one of the quarterbacks you'd like to see. And I mean this in a good way. Not even the whole, well, there's the Josh Allen experience. He'll complete a pass and then he'll make a play and turn the ball over. And you're like, what the hell was the guy doing on that? No, he's good. And Diggs is good. And Brown is good. And Beasley is good. And they can get to 30-plus points. And that's what you want to see. And that can tie in the improvements that you pointed out in the numbers, both passing and rushing for Allen, to year three. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that what it comes down to is, and we've talked about this, which is his floor has been risen. You know, we could talk about his ceiling. People talk about Josh's ceiling all the time. And I think it's true that he still hasn't gotten to his ceiling. Wherever that is, I don't know where it's going to take him, but his ceiling is higher than what it is now. I think he's on a great progression here. We'll find out. But I think it's clear, guys, his floor has been risen, right? I mean, when he has a bad game, it's not nearly what it used to be over his first couple of years. Does he have a play or two here or there? Sure. I mean, that can happen. There's no doubt. I think we're going to live with that for pretty much all his career. You're going to probably have a play here or there every once in a while, maybe on a monthly basis where you go, oh my God, I can't believe he did something like that. But I think overall, his bad games just aren't that bad. It's funny because as we say that, like Tom Brady's floor is lower.
Yeah.
Monday night was a great example. When you guys asked me what I thought about that game, you could see that when Brady's bad, his bad is a lot worse than it's ever been. Josh Allen's bad is a lot better than it's ever been, right? And I think that's been the big difference, and I think that's why you see these numbers that are rising. And what I tweeted out is I went back and looked, and I was just curious, you know, where Josh was through his first 10 games this year compared to his first 10 games of each of his first two seasons. You know, and only because curiosity at the bye week, I'm just trying to put some things together, and I know he's improved. But you look at the massive improvement. I did tweet this out yesterday. It's yesterday morning. You can find it on my Twitter feed if people want to take a look at it. I mean, the improvement is just undeniable. And for everybody who told us or whatever, you can't teach accuracy, I think Josh is just flying in the face of that. But it's not necessarily that you can't teach it necessarily. Josh has worked on it. You'll give him credit for it. But there's a lot of reasons that go in it. But it's not just accuracy. It's everything. It's taking care of the football. His interceptions, 11, his first 10 starts of 2018. He had 7 last year. He's got 7 this year. So the interceptions stayed the same, but the touchdowns have dramatically increased. He went from 13 last year to 21 this year. I mean, you go from 52% to 60% to 68%, 10 games, 10 games, 10 games. It's just amazing. Now, what has come with that has been a lower volume of rushing.
Running. Right, right.
Which is, he's actually running the same amount. He's only had he's had between 72 and 76 carries each year through this time in each season. this has been the lowest, but it's close to what it's been. There's only a two difference from last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only he's averaging less than 4 yards a carry, which is insane considering he was at 6.7 his first year. He's still getting in the end zone, by the way. 5 touchdowns this year. He had 6 his rookie year. He had 7 last year. So he's close to that. But I mean, but I think all of us will take that, right? You're going to take Josh Allen being a lot better as a passer if you're going to sacrifice some of the run game. You know, he's no longer a quarterback playing. He's no longer a running back playing quarterback, guys. He is a quarterback who can run the football.
One thing about the upcoming schedule, Sal, I wanted to ask you about and get to. ESPN's football performance or football power index, you know, the rest of the schedule is going to be interesting because by looking at strength of offense and strength of defense, it's as simple as they do it, okay? Defensive strength, offensive strength. Every team the Bills play for the rest of the season, they have a better offense. And every team they play for the rest of the season, the Bills have a weaker defense. Like the Broncos' defense is better. The Chargers' defense is better. Not all great, you know, huge gaps here. The Steelers' defense is better. Miami and New England, slightly better. But offensively, the Bills are the best team going forward. So, like, I don't know if that's any larger point here, but the Bills are above average offensively and right on the line of an average defensive team, which I think, like, seeing that is kind of sometimes shocking for people that you might – you know, have your doubts about the defense. It is right in the middle. It feels terrible sometimes for the, you know, considering what they've been, but they have the best offense of any team in the next 6 weeks that we watch football, which I think is a good feeling and gives them a chance to win every game, and is probably why Howard picked them to beat the Steelers in a couple weeks. You know, it's just,
I think it's
a different kind of year, and I think it's a good test too for this offense against defenses that are all, every single defense left is above average according to ESPN's Football Power Index.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's just a great way to look at a change in philosophy and how we've always thought about the Bills. And, you know, for so many years of the drought, for example, right, when they were close, when they were in the hunt, we'd say, well, you know, their defense can keep them in these games if they can get a couple extra scores or something like that and not turn the ball over. It's completely flipped now. Now it's, yeah, they can score with anybody. Just got to make sure you get a couple extra stops, you know, and I'd rather be that now. I'd so much rather be that. When you go into a game, and we'll go back to the first 4 weeks when we said this about the Bills, because it was true, because they were winning this way, which is when you have an offense like they have, or they had those 4 weeks, you always have a puncher's chance. You're always going to go into a game with a puncher's chance. And the game has just changed dramatically. We know that. We've talked about it here for a long time. And I think at least the Bills are in the right spot here as far as the way the league is to try and win games, which is, you have an offense that can score points. And even if your defense isn't that great, you're always going to have a chance because it's about scoring points. It's funny, last week in the NFL, I don't know the exact numbers, I have to look. So kind of a lower scoring week, wasn't it? Like the first, the 1 o'clock games I was watching going, boy, we're not getting these 30-something point games. There were a lot of games that were lower scoring. There were low 20s, even lower than that. So, you know, maybe it's just something that's happening as the weather turns. I don't know. There was some bad weather games, like in Cleveland, for example. You know, so at some point, you're going to have to say, okay, well, you know, the defense has to carry the day a little bit. But as long as you keep scoring and you can you know, do what the Bills have done on offense, I just think you always have a chance.
With the defense, Sal, and somebody called this week, and I think we were talking about, you know, it is what it is. It's not last year's defense. We know that. It's doing some things better. But to your discussion about both you guys pointing out, look, the Bills have one of the best offenses in the league. They can make this work if you get the occasional key stop, which this defense has done, right? What do you expect from the defense the next 6 games? Do you think that they'll get noticeably better? This is who they are. What is your assessment of that side of the ball?
I think it depends on what your metric of better is, Howard, right? I mean, what do you consider better?
Because
are we talking about like a yards per game? Are we talking about points? You know, things like that. Because to me, and you can answer the way you define it, to me, I'd like to see, and I hope to see, them continue to be a little bit more aggressive and make some bigger plays. Mm-hmm. I think that's just what's missing from the defense. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have a really good defense. A lot of it's because they're so aggressive and they make big plays.
Yeah.
If they don't make those big plays, they have some struggles on defense. You know, to me, it's about making big plays for the Bills that just they haven't been there. They haven't been. Yeah, they're actually sacking the quarterback at an okay rate. The Bills are a top half of the league, I believe, in getting to the quarterback this year.
Yeah.
But they're not making those game-changing plays, those takeaways that result in really big swings of field position. They've had a few of them over the last few weeks, but I think that's a product of them starting to be a bit more aggressive. So to me, what I expect over the final stretch is, because of what Jeremy said – the offenses you're playing are not world-beating offenses. I think they can get a little more aggressive here, and they can maybe turn some games because of some plays on defense.
I was going to jump on that.
I think that's too. I think you could have the same defense playing a group of offenses that's not as threatening and just kind of look better as a result. And they've played some pretty good offenses over the stretch here, you know, and with Kansas City and Tennessee was humming at the time, and Arizona's in there, and the Rams are in there. You know, they gave up their yards, they gave up their points, and now you have a stretch. I mean, I guess the Chargers is not exactly a pushover. The Chargers were leading the league in yards, or leading the conference in yards a couple weeks ago, Sal. I remember you mentioning that. So they've got their tests. I feel the same. Like, I'm looking for the defense to be about the same and get a couple of big plays, a couple of sacks, a couple of picks, the way they did in the last couple of weeks, when they've started to look a little better.
I thought, Jeremy, your stat, whichever week, was it before the Arizona game maybe, the stat about when Trey White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde? Here are the guys that are, to Sal's point, you want difference-making plays? Those are the three main guys that could make difference-making plays and have in the past.
Yeah, they had no picks.
Right.
Coming into that game,
it was eye popping when you pointed that out. And but
was
that's,
it Arizona? Or was it the week before?
Was it Seattle?
It was Seattle. Because Seattle. They got picks.
Tre'Davious White got his pick against Seattle.
And yep, and so did Poyer in the end zone.
Okay, so but those are the guys that you look at if you know quick change on possession, whatever. Not that the offense only needs a shorter field; they can put together long drives. But that those are the kind of plays I think that have been. Sal, I'm guessing you're talking about those plays had not really been in this defense prior to that game, those three guys.
Well, let me I think correct, and I think that even when you've had turnovers, a lot of times it's not like that, oh, my God, huge game-changing play, something like that, you know, getting a strip sack to really change field position. Sure, maybe somebody could point to a game where, well, they had one in this game against the Raiders or Dolphins. I get it. I'm saying that I think that they haven't been there on a consistent enough basis where you can say, and you don't want to rely on that. Like, that's what the Dolphins did. And I've pointed out, like, that's not a way, that's not a game plan. You don't rely on it. But you got to have them once in a while, I think, to give yourself a little bit even more of a chance. Now, for example, guys, I pointed this out. This is incredible to think about. The Bills currently have the longest drought in the NFL of scoring a defensive touchdown. Did you know that?
I did not. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Can you name the last defensive touchdown the Bills scored?
I mean, does Micah Hyde's count on that? Onside
nope,
kick return.
No, special teams.
Yeah. Okay. The last
wasn't it,
defensive touchdown.
Wasn't it a Jordan Poyer interception?
Yes, at New England in 2017.
2017?
That's it. Every team in the league has scored a defensive touchdown since then. The Bills' last defensive touchdown was in 2017. They went all of 18, all of 19, and so far all of 20. Now, Tre'Davious White got down to like the 4-yard line. It could happen. It's just, we're talking a 4-yard difference between them breaking that drought and not. I get that. But this is the point I'm making, right? I mean, which is, and sometimes it's just luck. Sometimes it's just falling and getting an extra yard because somebody doesn't trip you up or something like that. I understand that. Maybe it's Jerry Hughes against Cleveland where they could have been gone either way with the Baker Mayfield flip because even though it was in front of him, he tossed the ball up instead of going forward. You know, I still think that's kind of a debate on what happened on that play. You guys know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Remember that one in Cleveland? Like, Jerry Hughes goes to the end zone, it's a touchdown, then they reverse it. The little things like that, they can play into it. But I think the overall point here that I'm trying to make is they have not had those plays come their way since 2017, really, the way that they did. In 2017, they had three defensive touchdowns. And look, they were probably not the better team on the field in a lot of games they played, but they still made the playoffs because those plays can matter.
All right.
Sources tell me that Sal has trivia for us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was pausing.
I do. If you have time. I mean,
Wednesday before Thanksgiving. There's no such thing.
We mail in this show anyway on the day before Thanksgiving. Don't worry about it. And we never go on to break on time. So whatever.
Well, I figured you guys would like this one because I think, were you guys at first of all, do you know the last time the Bills beat the Chargers, right?
Yes, we were just talking about that yesterday. Uh-oh.
Okay.
We were talking about that yesterday. I don't know if that's going to ruin
it. That's okay. It was 2008.
Yeah.
Right? And it was the game that was the power outage game, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. The Bills were, what, 4-1 going into that game?
They were.
Okay, I believe Bills, so, yes, right.
Bills won that game 23-14. I mean, I don't know. I didn't listen. You guys might have covered this.
We might have done this exact trivia.
What was the one you did?
It was
the skill
the
guys.
Skill positions, basically. Name them.
For what team?
For the Bills. Who had carries? Who was the quarterback?
I have the Chargers.
Oh,
all right.
You're reading our
can
minds.
Can you name the one? Can you name the, what is it? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight different Chargers who either had a rushing attempt or a catch. See, I didn't even know
he's
still there.
Yeah, he would have still been there, right?
He's on there. Yeah.
Lorenzo Neal.
14 times.
Oh, Lorenzo Neal.
No, he is not on there.
It's not right.
But I like working in Lorenzo Neal.
What year
I just think
is this
that's
again?
Really cool. Oh, wait.
Right? Oh, Philip Rivers. Oh, wait.
Would you go?
Rivers had one rush, yes.
Oh, really? Wow, I bet that was productive.
Yes. One rush for negative 1 yard.
Okay, receivers for the Chargers in 2008. Receivers. Boy, trying to think of Chargers receivers before Keenan Allen.
David Boston.
No.
No.
He was in Arizona for most of his career. Did he go to the Chargers? He might.
Gates would have been their tight
end. Antonio Gates is a good answer.
That's about all I got, fellas. I think I may have to tap out at this point.
Oh, come on. These are all names you know.
Danny Woodhead.
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
It's actually recalling them would be the problem for me, Sal.
I'm trying to think of like my fantasy teams over the years. Who was Philip Rivers throwing touchdowns to? It's going to drive me nuts. There's a big name receiver here, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
James
I'd say pretty big name.
Did he play anywhere else?
Lance Allworth?
Hold on. Let me get to this guy here. Yes, he did play somewhere else. He came in the league. He had some nice years, like not monster years in the league, but he was nice. He was a good player. He did not play anywhere else. He actually played for the Chargers from 04 to 15.
Ooh,
he was there a long time.
Shoot.
Tim Dwight.
Led the league in yards per catch 1 year.
Oh, my
God.
Came out of... man, he went to Wyoming. I didn't know that.
Huh. Devery Henderson. Out of Wyoming?
Yeah.
Undrafted?
Devery Henderson.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-mm.
No.
Sorry, boys.
I don't know how to... I don't know a good... I don't know
initials?
A good... MF.
Hey, come on.
Easy.
It's a family show. Michael Fuller, the brush man. No, that's Corey Fuller, I think.
Malcolm Floyd.
Wow. Oh, my
Never
goodness.
Never going to get it.
No, yeah, I don't.
Malcolm Floyd.
Really?
Was there another running back we're missing besides Tomlinson?
Malcolm Floyd had a nice career, though.
Yeah.
That's a nice, right?
Who else?
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice.
Malcolm Floyd.
He caught over 5,500 yards of footballs.
Wow.
Okay, you got LT. Here's one you should be getting. This guy was good. He was a beast. I love this guy. He was, I think if I remember, he was taller. He played
a receiver or running back.
He also played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kind of split his time. Went from the Chargers to the Bucs receiver. He was a second round pick.
Big deep threat guy, wasn't he?
Vincent Jackson. Thank you.
Yes.
Right? Was he a big deep threat guy? Right? I think. I remember his.
Okay, there's a running back in here who he only had one carry, but he caught a bunch of passes. Known as a known really his career for another team lately, but he played a long time. In fact, still played up until last year, maybe.
Matt Forte.
No, and he's only.
I don't even know
if
he played for the Chargers.
Tiny running back played until last year.
Played for the Chargers.
Patriots.
Played for the Saints. Played for the Eagles.
Sproles. Sproles. Darren Sproles. Yeah, there you go, Jeremy. Yes. Good job.
Oh, I only got it because you went give me the whole
special.
Clue.
I was thinking Jeff Special. He was
all right. So you got the Tomlinson, V-Jax, Darren Sproles, Philip Rivers, Malcolm Floyd, Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson. The last two, I do not think you're going to get. They have very interesting last names that I had to even look up to make sure I could pronounce.
Marcus Tuia Sisoko.
No, but you're kind of close, actually. It's Brandon Manumo Wallena.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. Mm-hmm, right. Had him on my fantasy team.
Manu Maluena.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I think that's how you say it.
Close
enough.
And
then the other guy, I have no idea. I have no recollection of him. Nene is his last name.
Nene. Yeah, he played in the NBA.
I know, right? That's what I'm thinking. No, it's this is how you say his name. Legadu Nene.
Never. You're making that up. You're completely making that up.
He played for the Chargers, the Panthers, and the Dolphins. His name is Legadu Nene.
No. I'm accusing you of fake sports.
Yes, and he did. He caught he caught two passes for 7 yards in this game.
Okay, if you say so. Maybe it happened during the power outage.
It did make the trivia a little tougher if you weren't at the game.
No, I know. Right?
I was at the game. I still don't remember that guy playing, so don't worry about it.
Were you guys there?
I was at the game.
I was at the game, yeah.
So I didn't miss a beat. All right, hey, what's today? Oh, you're off tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the rest of the Capaccio family, and we will talk to you for Football Friday.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, Bills do practice today. They do not practice tomorrow. So
you'll
that
be out
was
there
why
today.
They practiced yesterday. So just so everybody knows, stay with the updates today. I'll be out of practice a little bit later.
And the first injury report of the week will be out
correct.
Today.
Correct. Yep, right, exactly.
Very good. Thank you, Sal.
Thanks, guys.
Sal brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Ours is going 10 minutes late to break. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That reminded me of naming a random wide receiver. The other day on Twitter, someone just started, name a random wide receiver.
And Fast Freddie Smith.
It was fun to do.
Yeah.
Because somebody just texted in Keenan McCardell.
Oh, he was
right.
Good.
He was on cool. San Diego a couple years before that.
And he was in Jacksonville, right? Who was wasn't it like a duo? It was him and
Smith.
Thank you very much. Yeah. They were good. It was Brunel, I think, was there at the time. All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Stat of the day to share. You tweeted something earlier about Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, which is a big topic this week.
Bruce Arians hates Tom Brady.
Okay.
Right?
I'm good with that.
When talking about the Monday night loss, he said on his weekly radio show, offensively, it's just a matter of each and every week if the quarterback plays well or not. He says the pass blocking was really, really good.
Hmm.
He said about Brady's interception that sealed the defeat, it was a poor decision. He did not read the coverage properly and threw a poor ball.
Wow, yeah, how about that? He's been pretty blatantly accusatory of Brady all season long.
To just flat out say, like, what happened on offense? Quarterback played bad. He plays well, we're good.
Wow.
My scheme's great. Our skill positions are great. Pass blocking's great. Quarterback stinks.
Well, there is a discussion this week about Arians, his scheme. You know, he likes the deep ball and whether he is actually...
And Brady can't throw it.
Yeah, and here are some numbers to back it up. Okay, first off, let me give you the larger number. Tom Brady has 56 pass attempts of 20-plus yards this year. That is the most in the National Football League. Ian Rapoport yesterday tweeted out a stat, Jeremy, from Next Gen. He has missed his last 22 deep attempts. So again, he has the most 20-plus yards attempts this year. So they keep using it, and he keeps missing it. He's 0 for 19 in the last four games. If you go back further, he's missed his last 22. If you go back to week five, he is 3 for 36 on 20-plus yard passes. And his three deep completions were in one game. Week 7 against the Raiders. Outside of that, zippo, none, niet. I'm trying to think of other ways to do. And yet, they keep calling for the deep passes, even though the numbers are showing he's not completing them. He's not completing them. In the first 7 weeks, okay, I don't even know what the average is. What's the average completion rate for the 20-plus yard passes? I don't know. Do you have any idea what it is? He was 35%. 14 to 39. And then something happened. And he is now 0 for his last 22. No touchdowns, three picks.
All this kind of is amazing. I mean, we'll see if he finds the answers in that offense and what happens in the postseason. But Brady left New England because he didn't feel like he was appreciated enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now his coach regularly calls him out publicly.
Yeah, and if look,
kind of weird.
If he's struggling on the deep ball, you know, you'd wonder if Tom Brady go to Bruce Arians and go, "Hey, Bruce, just so you know, having a little issue with the deep ball right now. You might want to maybe call less of those. You know, give me the short, intermediate stuff. Give me the timing routes. Give me the crosser, whatever. But you know, stop giving me the vertical passes because he literally isn't hitting on any of those at this point."
Arians has worked with a lot of really great quarterbacks. He's got a book called The Quarterback Whisperer that I'd recommend to anybody. That's good, and it kind of made me appreciate him and like him and his journey. But, you know, while we can sit here and, enjoy that he's calling out Tom Brady, he did it to Jameis Winston last year too. Yeah. And if you keep doing it, you're going to get to a point where what quarterback's going to want to play for you? You know, if things don't go well, you don't take any responsibility yourself.
Right.
And you go publicly to just say the quarterback is a mess. He did it to Winston several times. I mean, Winston threw 30 picks.
Hey, at least, they are still 7-4 too. I mean, it's not like they're 4-7. Now they're not in first place in their division, and they're probably not going to win the division, even with the Breeze injury. But it's not like they're playing badly or even win. I mean, Winston and the Bucks last year were under 500, I think, right? Although they're in the playoff in the hunt right to the very end. But that's the other thing too. And again, I'm not here to tell anybody you should feel bad for Tom Brady, but they're winning. I mean, they're in a good spot in terms of being in the race, maybe making the playoffs, all that other stuff. They've had some impressive wins this year, and that's why to me, and again, it's just as a coach, you can have a philosophy. And I know you as you mentioned, you're a big fan of the book he wrote, and by and large, his philosophy has been successful. But as a coach, you're also supposed to understand the strengths and weaknesses of each of your players, and you can have a philosophy, but you should be able to adjust based on whether or not you have players that can do what you'd like them to do. If the evidence is clear that you can love a vertical game and you can have the guys for it, but if the evidence is clear, Brady's arm isn't good enough to do that, why are you doing it?
That just means that the guy that goes deep doesn't get the ball. Arians' offense has, at least in the book, he claims that every single play has one deep play.
Right, okay.
It doesn't mean that every throw has to be deep. So basically what Arians is seeing in his offense now, if I could just kind of guess, based on what he said about his scheme, what he wants in it, and what the Bucs are not getting, is whoever goes deep isn't a threat because Brady cannot throw it there.
Right.
And his quarterbacks from Carson Palmer to Kelly Holcomb to Ben Roethlisberger to Andrew Luck could all at least – maybe reasonably on their own level, hit that guy.
Yeah.
And for it's like taking a pitch out of a pitcher's rotation. Like, you just can't use it because, it's not there for you.
Yeah.
So it's not like he has to change his entire offense. He's not about to go to a West Coast scheme
right.
for Tom Brady.
So it's Brady just – Brady's got to not try
saying,
that throw, I guess, then. The other find one of the other three or four route runners.
Right. That's why when he talks about it, he's like, well, the quarterback just isn't playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't advise being a coach like that. It's fun and juicy for us, and we can have our little, you know, dancing on Brady, which I'm not upset about.
No, nobody's going to be upset about that either, by the way.
I've got a stat of the day for you.
It is funny, though, as you pointed out, right, that he supposedly, at the end, he got tired of Belichick, and he got tired of, you know, being what you know being criticized and all that stuff. Like the whole Belichick doesn't appreciate me enough, fine, I'll leave you. You enjoy life without me, Bill. And now he's playing for a coach who is pointing out, you know, when he's bad.
So my stat of the day comes up. It's a Sabre stat.
By the way, stat of the day brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills.
Just a real quick trivia question for you here. Do you know who led the Sabres in five goals per 60 minutes last year?
Five-on-five goals per 60 minutes. It was not Victor Olofsson.
Even strength goals per 60 minutes.
Jack?
No.
It's not Skinner, right?
It
wouldn't have been Olofsson.
It was Jeff Skinner.
Was it Skinner, really?
It was Jeff Skinner.
Wow.
I did not know that.
So I went on with the guys that do Expected Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's analytics and Sabres coverage, and they did a podcast last night. I jumped on with them. And Chad DeDominicis brought up this stat about Olofsson's even strength scoring with Jack. He played 654 minutes with Eichel last year.
What, do you have, like two goals?
Five.
Yeah.
At five on five.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad the Sabres have added to their top six. Kind of gets us back to last year. One of the things that just bothered me, that Skinner could not play with Jack. They would not let it happen. And Olofsson is a nice young player. The Sabres, you know, they've got him for a while. That's great. He was great on the power play. Skinner scored no power play goals last year because he couldn't get on the top power play.
Right.
They wouldn't put him out in 3-on-3 in overtime, right? Like he was just
doghoused. Defensive.
He was doghoused for the year.
Whatever. Yeah.
And played with a second line that didn't have another top six forward on it. So this year, I would expect that Skinner has a bounce back year. I don't know if he'll ever get the chance to play with Jack, but playing with, you know, Stahl, maybe who else? Reinhardt, maybe, you know, whatever. However that top six shakes out,
right,
it might go better for him. But Jeff Skinner did not have nearly as bad a year as – I mean, like, as it seemed. Like, there are some that think he's washed and the Sabres are totally screwed
washed.
By that contract. And I am team, I don't believe that necessarily. I think the team did not do him any favors. You know, we went over that a lot during the year.
Yeah, usage, right. And the role for him.
Yeah.
And right, wasn't his – and his shooting percentage was, like, abnormally down
way
for him.
Way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Jeff Skinner, winner of the 2017 Thanksgiving – 2018
How
Thanksgiving Survivor.
How about that? Hey, we nailed that one. That was good.
We did.
He was so
hot. He scored 40 that year.
That's right. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Should we follow up on the watermelon conversation from yesterday?
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
I told you it was out of season.
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I would know that.
You can't just go find watermelon at the store.
I don't know what's year-round and not year-round. I'm corn, I know, it has a season. I don't know, I guess I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I was really excited about eating watermelon today for everybody. I really was. Not kidding. Seedless. Don't like pits or seeds. But so I'll have to wait. When is watermelon season? Like April?
Summer, yeah.
Spring, I mean, summer?
Yeah, summer? We'll get you some watermelon in the summer.
I volunteered. I told Brayton I actually volunteered to just, you know, pull an item out of the vending machine that I haven't eaten. Would you like me to go get Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? It's not the same?
Not quite.
Already did Slim Jims. I mean, I don't. Sorry, man. And for those of you tweeting in, yes, I've tried water. Instead, I just wanted to rule that one out in terms of a list of things that I've never tried in my life. I have tried water.
Well, good.
I do find it particularly wet, but whatever. It's fine. I actually like water. So
yesterday, guys were talking about, somehow Die Hard came up on the show. They're talking about a couple different.
We're talking about Christmas shows.
Maybe I don't
holiday shows.
Not sure if that's exactly why Die Hard came up, but Joe DiBiase had never seen it, and Brayton said he'd never seen it start to finish. Which, I want to say that's surprising. And the main reason it's surprising, Brayton, is because you love Top Gun.
Yes.
So, like, you were too young for Top Gun when it came out.
I wasn't even born.
That's what I mean. So, if you love Top Gun, you have gone back and found true love in great movies from before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a whole other category. Like, what's the best movie? What's your favorite movie that was out before you were born? Howard, I mean, I don't think they had moving pictures back then. So
Birth of a Nation, D.W. Griffith, 1918, I think?
I don't think so.
No? All right.
No.
That's funny. I'll go with Gone with the Wind then, all right? How's that? 1939?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what my favorite movie from before I was born would be. I think Die Hard's what, 1988 maybe? I'll find it. But Top Gun is 86. Yeah, Die Hard's 88. What year are you born, Brayton?
91.
God.
Holy, I know, right?
Oh, my Lord.
So Die Hard's from before you were born. How much of it have you seen?
Let's see. How long is the movie?
It is an action thriller that's 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Okay, so of the 2 hours and 12 minutes, I've maybe seen a combined 45 minutes of it.
Okay, all right.
It's not bad.
I mean, I saw it, I have no idea when I saw it. I didn't see it when I was nine. I was born in 1979. But I, you know, eventually came around to seeing it. And Top Gun is what it is, of course, and a great movie and one of my favorites. Die Hard it's like a genre builder. It created a genre almost. I don't know, if there's like a movie hall of fame, not even being, you know, oh, it's a Christmas movie, fake controversy, you know, let's have a little fun. I mean that seriously. Like, it was, I mean, I probably go too far to say revolutionary, but like the action, that's a little bit action comedy, but a lot of action.
Yeah, it was a nice little balance that worked. You know, you wouldn't think in a movie with terrorists there'd be comedic lines in it.
Right. It was, was.
It was funny.
Yeah. So,
it really was. There were some really funny lines in the movie.
Quotable.
Bruce Willis is great.
Bruce Willis's career launches off of that, right? Mm-hmm. What was he in before?
He was on
TV
that show with what's her name?
Moonlighting?
Yes, Moonlight. No. Yeah, right? Wasn't
it? One of those TV soap shows.
Yeah. What is her name? The blonde actress. I'll look it up. I think you might be right on Moon. I feel like that sounds like about right.
Knott's Landing, is that the one?
No. He was on Moonlighting.
Okay.
From 1985 to 1989. It was a very popular, that was one of the more popular TV shows.
He's on Moonlighting for 3 years, and then he's in this giant action thriller that is, you know,
which
huge.
Spawned sequels, which, you know, it spawned its own series.
Yeah. So I would say you should watch it start to finish, Brayton. It's good. I mean, don't watch the television version because then you get, you know, Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon and things like that.
It's not the same.
It's not quite the same. So I think you should watch it. You'd like it. It's an iconic movie. It's
great.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
and the Top Gun in is key here because you love Top Gun, and Top Gun is an 80s action, some comedy, you know, like that kind of genre too. Die Hard's a little bit different. But yeah, they're both great.
And you like the funny lines.
My favorite movie from before I was born. A movie from the 70s. that I love.
Okay, I got to look up. I got to do a little here. Best movies pre-1962. All right, who's in with
maybe
me?
Maybe the right way to do this is before you were 10, because, you know, you see a movie when you're young, it means something to you. Maybe you see a movie when you're 12 and you watch it 15 times, and when you're an adult, you love that movie. And, you know, if you were to try to watch it for the first time when you were 45, it wouldn't hit you the same way.
Yeah,
you know?
There's too many. I couldn't even begin to – I wouldn't even know where to go.
So hey. It's a movie that's from before you knew movies that you like, and it's not because of nostalgia. It's because you just flat out like it.
Okay. The Sting? I don't know. That was somewhere in the early 70s, I think.
Star Wars is a good answer for a lot of people here.
What was that, 77?
77, 79, and 81.
I would have been 15 when the first one came out.
Yeah. For me, yeah, Star Wars is before I was born, and I think Empire is 79, and Return of the Jedi is 81. So, you know, I've never really thought about it that way, but if you're trying to figure out, you know, how much you like a movie, how much is nostalgia versus how much you just kind of like it, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the first movie I would have seen in a movie.
I know we have to go to break, but...
Whatever. We don't have to do any... Oh, my lot. It's 802.
You know he's interested when he's like, ah, screw the break.
It's 802, for goodness sakes. Wow.
Jay Harris, the Buffalo Bills producer, he just texted me and he said, ask you guys if they knew Bruce Willis put out a blues album at one point.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Empire's 1980, by the way.
Okay.
So that was after I was born. But Star Wars, the first one would have been before I was born.
Sybil Shepherd, by the way. Thank you for tweeting in. The actress on Moonlighting with Bruce Willis was Sybil Shepherd.
Getting a lot of texts on this. Rocky? The original Rocky?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. 75?
Okay, so that's before I was
born. I'm guessing. I feel like it's mid-70s, I think. Would have seen that in the movie theater. Would have seen Animal House in the movie. I'm trying to think of movies that would have come out before I really started going to movies in the 70s. So
yeah, Rocky is 76.
76, yeah. Great movie. Why don't we just keep talking, Brayton? Why do we need to take a break?
Rocky 2 is 79.
Yeah. All right, 803-0550 to join us. 888. Wow. See, people are now tweeting me best movies before they were born, and I would have been like, 26 when these somebody tweeted Back to the Future. 85. So I would that's depressing. Brayton, 91, really? 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550 WGR.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.